The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Welcome to this week's edition of Lions Roar, live from the KETR studio on the Texas A&M University Commerce campus. Director of Athletics Tim McMurray, joined today by our women's basketball head coach Jason Burton and our men's head basketball coach Jarrett Von Rosenberg. But first, a very special guest here in studio with us today. We have Princess Davis, junior guard on our women's basketball team. Welcome in. Good
Thank
to see you. Before we chat with Princess here, a couple things to look back on. A 3-0 week. 3-0 as we tape this for women's basketball. 13-5 overall record. 9-1 in first place by two games in the Lone Star Conference. An 88-77 overtime win at UT Permian Basin last week, and a 59-55 huge road win, first since 2005. At number 8, West Texas A&M. We'll talk with Princess about that. And then last night, 94-42 victory over Dallas Christian at home. Great to get back among that home crowd. We had the band. We had a great student turnout and really had some good crowds over the holidays. That always feels good to get some wins at home. Correct?
Yes.
That's a question,
yes.
Princess.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about last year. Don't want to put the toothpaste back in the tube and relive sitting out last year, but talk about the perspective that gave you. And I see it. I know your coaches see it, but we want to hear from you. What did sitting out last year allow you to do, not just throughout the end of the season, but through this off season and coming in October, November, December, now into January?
Sitting out allowed me to see things from multiple perspectives, from a coaching standpoint, and just being a leader of this team, it helped me to gain more confidence in myself and just lead the team and be there every step of the way. Just work harder in the off season, and when I was able to do more and more, and I stayed the summer just to work harder, and just so I won't have any setbacks, so I can come back stronger than ever this season and just be here for my team.
Terrific. You were part of Coach Burton's first recruiting class, so you've seen ebbs and flows, highs and lows, a lot of different things happen in this program. Talk a little bit about is obviously we see a lot of basketball left. We're only at the halfway point in the women's season at 9-1 in conference, and plenty of basketball left and plenty of tests left. We go five in a row on the road in February, and that won't be easy. But what's brought this team together? What's brought us to this point? What do you see being special about it?
One thing I know is that we'll never give up, no matter how far we get down, no matter what type of adversity we face. And we're going to face different things throughout the season. We've already faced many things before season, during season, our last couple of games. But we've bought into game plans, and that's what we do. We continue to play hard and play for each other.
Play for each other, and I think that's a theme that having the chance to be in that locker room Saturday and seeing pure joy post game, because you know it was really nice to watch you guys celebrate, but then very quickly you could tell it was just on to the task at hand. Okay, we got another one Monday night, quick turnaround, chance to get keep the legs fresh, but get a lot of your teammates a lot of different minutes and not have the starters have to play their regular rotation. But now it's on to the next one, which is Midwestern State on Thursday. And talk about this team really seems to have a very special ability to go to the next one so far. Talk about that a little bit.
Right now we're just focusing on watching ourselves and what we did well and what we didn't do so well against Midwestern our last time meeting them. And just focusing on buying into the game plan once again and playing defense and doing what we do best, just working hard.
Do you guys like, and I want to ask this really quick, do you guys like playing conference games that early and then having a little bit of a break and then coming back in January? That's new the last two seasons, so.
I don't really know. It's just like we take one game at a time.
Yeah.
Each game is an important one, so I guess it's okay to have a break. Just, you never know how the beginning of the season going, and then you have a break to regain yourself and look yourself in the mirror, just figure out what needs to be done to get more wins. So I guess it's pretty cool. It was good.
Well, talking about that break, you had that loss at St. Mary's, which we all know how the game went there, but then you did have the break and you came back and beat UTSA. Did that help with that confidence going into the conference season then?
Yes, it definitely did. Coming off a loss right before the break, and then coming back and beating a D1 team and regaining confidence and just going back to what we do and coming in and winning conference games right off bat.
Coach Burton was nodding steadfastly in the background when you mentioned that one game at a time. So you at least know coming out of here, as great a job as you did today, you definitely got that question right. So, Princess Davis, thanks for joining us here on Segment 1 of Lions Roar.
Oh, we haven't asked her any fun.
Oh, we do? All right,
we got to have fun questions.
Oh, you gave me the one. That's right. All right, let's do all right, what did you – are you a Netflix person?
Kind of, sort of. I have.
Like, what do you do on the bus? What do you do on the bus trips? What do you – you watch, you listen.
Yeah, we were on the bus for a while this week.
Yeah. I watch TV shows.
What are you watching?
Yeah, I finished up Shameless and watched The Fosters.
Oh, all right.
Shameless is strong.
Yeah.
We can't really talk about it on the air too much, but that's strong.
Yeah, it is strong. Yeah.
It's Shameless.
We certainly can't talk about it on public radio.
Well, I don't think we're on the air right now. It's a podcast, right. So I think we're okay.
Right, but reading anything right now besides what you have to read for school?
No, sir.
But you are reading for school. Yes. Good.
All right. You're from Louisiana. Yes. Yes. Good. Also a good answer. You, are you a spicy food person being from Louisiana?
Definitely.
All right. Why have you not brought me any back then?
I got you.
All right. Sweet. Good. This is important.
Yes. And by him, you mean us, right?
Yeah.
Good. Perfect.
I got us.
We're a team. We're a team.
Yeah. Are your ears still ringing from Education Day with all the kids, little first graders screaming
at you?
And then as we wrap up, what's your favorite thing about Artesia Gay?
It's so much.
Yeah, just the top 10, not the whole list. No, I'm kidding. All right. Hey, really appreciate you guys joining us today. Great job.
Thank you.
Let's go take care of Midwestern and Cameron this weekend, and we'll I'm sure talk to you either before or after Frisco, because I know we've got basketball after Frisco left this year.
Yes, sir.
All right. Princess Davis, we'll be back in segment 2 with Coach Jason Burton.
Hello, this is Alex Shiloh from the Lions football team. The Lion Champion Fund is the official support unit for Lion Athletics.
Donations to the LCF go directly to providing a best-in-class experience for all 436 Lion student-athletes. I am Sydney Reyes from the Lion volleyball team.
For more information about the LCF, you can visit lionchampionsfund.com.
Again, that's lionchampionsfund.com, and thank you for your best-in-class support.
Back on a brand-new segment here in Lions World, we've got 3 people in the shot and 2 head coaches at the same time. Live in studio and both championship coaches and or on their way to championships, and really appreciate both of them taking time out of their schedule to be here. Last 3-3-0 for the women. We talked about that with Princess in the first segment. Let's talk a little bit, Coach Burton first. It's hard to win a road game. It's hard to win a game.
No question.
It's really hard to win a road game. It's really, really hard to win 2 road games, and it's even more difficult to do it when you're playing a team that's in the top 8 and in front of an ESPN home crowd. So just really special Saturday. But take us through the trip. You know, you got on the bus Wednesday, Permian Basin, difficult test, and just go through the weekend.
Got on the bus Wednesday with Artesia Gay in the boot. That was tough enough. And then, you know, you go out there and I think as a player, it's hard not to look ahead when you know on Saturday you play on ESPN and you play the number 8 team in the country and you get excited for that game. It's hard not to look past Permian Basin, but Permian Basin is a really good team and they play a difficult scheme. You know, they 1-3-1, they press all over the floor and I knew that we had to be focused for that game. But I thought our team did a really good job of locking in, and still it took us. I look back on that game and Princess hit a 3-quarter-court shot in the first quarter. To go up 7th in the first quarter, if she didn't hit that shot, we don't go to overtime, we lose that game. And so we needed every little bit from everybody that we got to win that game. And then you look to Saturday, and Tay gets hurt that game, hurts her knee, and doesn't play versus West Texas. And for them to really sell out and lock into a game plan and then battle for 40 minutes, it took the complete team, took a team effort to beat WT, and so proud of how they played, how hard. It's a tough place to play, regardless of it being on ESPN. Definitely a tough place to play and a tough team, and our girls really did a great job on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought just in talking with Princess, the way I've really been prior to this team, the way in the lot, but both teams really, we'll talk to Coach Rose in a minute, but celebrate it, enjoy it. I think, as you said, one or both of you said last night in your own way in your locker rooms, enjoy this one for about 5 minutes and then get on to the next one. And then that's what this team, especially our women's team, I've seen so far this year has done especially, and it obviously shows in the 8-1 record. And Josh touched on it with Princess in the first segment. But you never know if there will be one, but I think the ancillary benefit of that win over UTSA has certainly vaulted us into the new year correctly.
No question. I think that win gave us confidence. Just, you know, we're kind of up and down early on. That win gave us the confidence we needed to start the semester. But every win since then, every conference win, you get a little bit more confidence in yourself. And then now we're at the point where we've played everybody in the conference, and we've only lost to one team. And we felt like we didn't give them our best shot. And we get a chance on Thursday to play Midwestern, who beat us. And I think once we get that W, it's like, why can't you go and do it again? Because we've done it once. And so our focus, that's the main thing I've been proud of. We've got a veteran group with some seniors really leading the way, and they're doing such a good job this year. And I put Princess in that boat with the seniors, that just our leadership this year has been really, really good. And it's easy for our freshmen who've been significant factors for us to really buy into what's going on in our program and sell out to doing whatever it takes to win.
I think WT second half, they score the first 7 of the second half.
That was right after I got there.
But my point in that is demeanor didn't change. It was, they didn't say it, or maybe they did say it, I just didn't hear it, but the attitude and the play on the court was, Coach, we got this.
Yeah.
And there was no panic. There was maybe it was 7-0 or something like that. It could easily been 13 or 14-0. That was pretty special to watch. And once you withstood that run, you know they're going to get their run.
Yeah.
You just don't want them to get 2 or 3 runs like that.
And we talk about that. I'm sure Coach Rose talks about that too. It's a game of runs. They're gonna make a run, especially you go into halftime and you make little adjustments. But I thought our team just did a good job of knowing who we are and knowing that, like Princess said earlier, you're gonna face a little bit of adversity at some point. And it's how you respond to that. And I think that we did a good job of just being even keel and got the ball to our playmakers. Brianna Wise really stepped up in the second half. And you knew that with only 5 points in the first half, at some point she's going to go on a run herself. And we just got a special group of players that, you know, they know what it takes to win at this point. We played a tough non-conference schedule that I think we learned a lot of lessons from those. And some of they weren't lessons that we necessarily wanted to win with losses or losses, but Learn those lessons early on, and now they're playing their best basketball.
I want you to savor the 80 minutes at home this weekend, because we don't see you for about 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to see you more in here than we are in the field house for a while.
Yeah. So, but big week, obviously any conference game now, there's no non-big weekends, but chance to avenge our only loss, obviously. You and I both know Coach Johnson very well, doing a great job at Midwestern State. And then, you know, Cameron, sneaky, they played us tough up there and certainly can cause matchup problems. So, big weekend coming up.
No question. And I think that we haven't had a chance to really experience the full this home game environment, because we've played so many conference games over the break. It's going to be fun to have that environment here and have our band there and have the student body back. And so I'm looking forward to it. I think that these next two games coming up, with alumni game being on Saturday and then just students being here during the week on Thursday, we're going to have two really good crowds this week.
Let's move over to the men's side. Let's get the bad taste out of our mouth. But, you know, we lost by a total of 5 points to two basically top 10 teams, and being a top 10 team ourselves. But the difference in that 10 is we have another 10 in addition to our ranking. We have 10 new guys that you're bringing together with 3 returners, and only 2 of them have been healthy. Talk about that. I mean, you know, I didn't, we said you were, talk to me about your biggest question during the interview process. All right, let's talk about your one. Put your mind at ease. It's year 0. But I don't remember at the hotel either you promising or me requiring that we be 15-3 and 7-2 halfway through the league mark. So, let's get everybody caught up to this point now that we've gone through a true battle-tested road trip, where your head is with those guys, We're not going to talk much about Thursday night. We will talk a little bit about it in terms of the way it ended. But talk about the road trip overall from your perspective, because even though it was two setbacks, two great opportunities to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, going back to, yeah, we're definitely happy with where we're at. 13 guys in that locker room have really bought into the coaching staff and the culture of what we're trying to build here in year zero, year one, whatever you want to call it. Just this first opportunity for this group with this staff to compete together. And it's been really good. And, you know, we've had some ups and downs. We, you know, even early our loss to Fort Smith by 1 point, you know, we had opportunities to win the game. And that was our message after the West Texas game is, you know, you can look at everything from Thursday night and you can look at the West Texas game. Every single guy makes a mental mistake, coaches included, makes a mental mistake on the game plan or a coverage or a rebounding assignment. And if the guy that has four mental mistakes can cut that to three, and the guy that has two to one, and so on and so forth down the line, then you're cleaning up those one-point losses and turning them into 1-, 2-, 3-point wins, hopefully. That's the idea. But, you know, it was good to play last night. Because my message after the game was, like you said, enjoy this for about 5 minutes, and you know we got to get ready for two really good opponents coming in. But I said, well, we're no longer on a losing streak. That's another adversity. Mm-hmm. When you lose one game, it's not a streak yet. But you lost two in a row, we're on a losing streak. We've had winning streaks this year, but it was our first losing streak that we had to deal with. But you know, very similar to Jason's group that he just alluded to, is we have some senior leadership. And you know, maybe it's not in this program with this staff and this culture for a long time, but it's a lot of guys that played a lot of college basketball for good programs, and they understand how tough a conference season is, how long it is. And, you know, we've been talking about it since game one, you know, you've got to withstand the Lone Star, and you want to just withstand the Lone Star, be prepared for every game. The first time you don't show up and you overlook somebody, you're going to lose. Just be prepared for every game and show up and give yourself a chance to win, and then let the dust settle at the end. And we've done that to this point, halfway through the conference schedule. We've showed up in every game. You know, we've won a lot of games, but you know, we got to continue to do that and let the dust settle at the end. And you know, we'll be sitting where we want to sit.
So you went 2-0 on the Midwestern Cameron swing on the road in December.
Catching just them. December.
Yes,
it feels like that was 8 years ago.
Catching them at a. Catching them at times when, you know, two big wins there, because you didn't really know what you had. You'd gone through a preseason with them, and, you know, very, very early in the league race to catch those two, it can certainly go either way. Talk about these two opponents and as Jason alluded to, getting excited to get back around a true home crowd with students, with band. And I thought our dress rehearsal last night for that went really well also.
Yeah, it's exciting, and you know, it's just a different energy in the building when you got fans and they're oohing and aahing on plays, and they're, you know, the great thing about, and I've been around them now for multiple seasons, first as the head coach, but you know, for some reason we have some of the most engaging fans I've ever been around. They're watching the game, intently following, cheering when they're supposed to cheer. That might seem, you know, silly to say, but you know, there's a lot of places that there's people in the seats, but they're just mannequins in their chairs, and we have a lot of people cheering and rooting for our success, and that's a big difference, and I think that goes a long way. So we're excited, you know, and I'm not looking ahead, but we do have four conference home games here, and you know, we get UTPB in West Texas and a field house night in our environment. So these four games in our environment, we really got to take advantage of, and again, we got to be ready to play. And you know, anything we can get from the crowd as far as that little extra edge when we play at home, we want to take advantage of.
Absolutely. Want to pay both of you a compliment, and not to give our listeners too much in the weeds, but both of you do a great job of communication as an AD. I, you know, talk about it all the time, and even going right back to, you know, during the men's basketball process, I think you and I were talking about every other day, because we weren't going to hire somebody that wasn't a good fit, that wasn't going to be able to work. You know, you guys have to work currently with Case on scheduling one court. It may be that way down the road. It may not. It'll be in a nicer space. I can promise you that. But three coaches have to work well together in that environment. And certainly your local knowledge and your experience and your respect here help. But one thing, you know, you talked about was communication and engagement. And that's one thing that Jason talks a lot about, and I, But I just appreciate, because I noticed you did it this morning. I hadn't had a chance to read through either one of them yet, but I saw an email pop where you're, you know, in addition to Men's Basketball Weekly at a Glance that you send to our administrators for compliance perspective, academic perspective, that you've modeled that, you know, and that
you're trying to make me look bad. That's what, you know, that
everything's a competition with these. Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like I ought to hand over the mic. We can rename this segment Triple J and just let you agree. That would be great. I'm going to actually start doing that. Triple J and friends. No, quadruple J.
Yeah, June's in here too.
Yeah, it's the J Quad segment here on Lions. No, so we, but I have a great time and really enjoy watching it, because I'm sure you guys have seen situations, thankfully not here, because obviously you work for Sam and Sam Walker, ultimate team player. But we all know, because I talk about it all the time, and throughout the playoffs, even football, kept talking president, you know, AD, football coach. Very rarely do all three communicate in the same vacuum, and I can say that from experience. Usually you have some combination of the two trying to work around or work through the third, and that's not healthy. And I think that's what you guys have established here, because I never, unlike other places I've been, even not in the AD chair, but being an administrator for basketball, women's and men's, never hear complaint, hey, the women are getting this, we don't have that, hey, I don't like that. Talk about how that relationship has evolved, because I think it's important. I think our fans enjoy knowing that they're rooting for two of the right programs and programs that do it the right way.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but I've been knowing Rose since he was like 17. My brother recruited him to Collin College and coached him, and so I've been knowing him for a long time, and so it's been a natural evolution. Just also, when I left here as being Sam Walker's assistant, he came in, and so we've always...
So your brother's the one to blame.
My brother's the one to blame.
But interesting.
You know, you always root for a guy that's like family, and so even when we weren't together, we were communicating, and I mean, he was putting on coaching clinics in the Valley a long time ago, and so when you know, we started talking about Coach Rose during the search, and you mentioned that he may be a strong candidate for the job, and then he got the job. I'm excited, because it's easy to communicate with somebody that you've known for so long and that you got a history for, and that you know that he wants you to have success just like I want him to have success. And so anytime you have that, and we've already both worked with Coach Case, it's just a smooth transition, and all three of us as the court sport coaches want each other to have success and want to do whatever it takes for everybody to be successful. And it's not just about me and my team, or it's not just about him and his team, and so on and so forth. We want a collective success, and I think it's not just with the core sports, it's all throughout our athletic department, and it's fun. It's through our university. Coach or Dr. Kett gave me a call on the way back from that game, and he was so excited, and he was at the national convention for the NCAA, and just to have that, not just within the core sports, not just within the athletic department, but the entire university, is something special.
Yeah, it's hard to follow up that answer, but, you know, in all honesty, though, and I've always been a big proponent of this, is, you know, and I think our teams have to do it as part of the game within the 40 minutes, as we talk about it, adapting, and, you know, you want to set a schedule, you want to set your defensive game plan, you want to set your program, and we talk about 90-10, we want to set everything we do 90%, but we got to be able to make adjustments, and we can't let adjustments bother us, because that's part of the game, that's part of life. You got to hit adjustments on the fly and make them work. I say that just to say that, you know, we're not going to, under no circumstances, we're not willing to move a practice an hour to accommodate one of the other court sports when, you know, that there some stuff comes up, and we've got to all work together, and they'll do the same thing for me, and we all know that away from basketball and volleyball, we know that in our personal lives, because we're friends, and our relationship goes back a long time, and I think a lot of coaches say they want the other team to be successful, and I don't know if it's always the case, but that's what's unique about this place, like Jason just alluded to, is, you know, people want everyone to win, and that's why everyone is winning. It's not a mystery. It's because you have real, true support from people that want you to be successful, and we want everyone to be successful, and I think that just goes a long way.
No, I mean, I think it's almost like one team. It just happens to be a volleyball team, yep, and two basketball teams, because so we get on the bus at the hotel in Amarillo to head down to Canyon, and the women's game was about a quarter the way in, and I was watching it on my phone. and I'm in the second seat, Coach Rose in the seat ahead of me, doesn't even turn and look, doesn't ask what I'm watching, just hears the noise. He goes, how we doing? Not how are the girls doing? Not how are they doing? How are we doing?
That's right.
And then the first person to text me after the incident on Thursday was Case. Yeah. He was like, do they not have a better angle? Now, granted, Case is a tech nerd, too. But, you know, like, but he was just as into it as everybody else was. And I know for a fact that the women's team was on their way up the canyon to stay the night, and they were watching that game, and they were watching the guys' game.
You tweeted about that, didn't you?
It's incredible to see our, I mean, as soon as we got on the bus, they're trying to get the Wi-Fi code. They're trying to get Marcus's Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
They're trying to get the game. And you know, as much as we can, we'd like to stay and watch when we can, but sometimes when you have those 7-hour trips,
you gotta think about your own team success,
you gotta get them back. And so the minute we got on the bus, they're huddled around the iPad and watching the game, and some people are ahead because I got live stats and I'm listening to Charlie Chitwood on the radio, and they're watching the ESPN broadcast, and they're telling me not to tell them, not to give them any hints of what's going on, but they're just excited, as excited as we are to see the other team's success.
So I'll give you a hint to my trivia question I've got to ask. Do you know who was texting me the most Saturday during the game? When there was the slightest bad officiating call or controversy, Craig Case.
Okay.
So he was, he sent it Luigi. She's like, oh, how can they do that? What does Rose think? What does Rose think about that? Was that a bad call? I'm just, Case.
In true Neil Piper fashion, going to the veteran of the group, he, you know, I got a bunch of texts from staff here about, you know, tough one, really sorry, all that. Neil sent me a paragraph about he wanted to know the ruling, what the explanation was, how many angles did they have. He wanted to know the actual details of what was going on so he could ingest his or interject his thought
for
that.
For our fan, and so he was, you know, at Tarleton next month, in Frisco next month, at a regional next year when we go to Permian Basin. So what are we going to do as a league? And that answer is we'll introduce some emergency legislation. The ADs meet that afternoon before the banquet in Frisco. And we'll pass something pretty quick on minimum standards of replay technology. Because I don't care about angle. If you'd had freeze frame on their angle, you would have still seen the same thing that we could see from Josh's video phone that he had. And still shot. So, phone, exactly.
Phone.
And so while we, as we wrap this up, let's... And I really do like this format. I think it's a good area for us. But let's talk about moving to Frisco. We hadn't really done that. I like it certainly because our fans, and I think even more of our fans that are in those North Dallas, Plano, Richardson, think we can do a really, really good job of, you know, doing more target marketing alumni. I know we're going to make the effort to. But talk about playing at the Star versus playing at the Dr. Pepper Center over there near the Star in Frisco. Versus playing in Allen, I think it's just great to keep it here in the Metroplex.
Yeah, I think going to Frisco, first of all, just the proximity and the fan support we've had at conference tournaments is unbelievable. You know, people can make a day trip. It's not like you have to come and stay overnight. Hopefully for multiple days, for men's and women's.
Hopefully our teams do. I'm okay with that budget.
Yeah,
problem.
But no, it's exciting. It's just exciting with the partnership with Dr. Pepper Center, and I've been over there multiple times. That area is growing rapidly. The restaurant options, the hotels. You know, it's just a first class event. I don't know if any other D2 conference is putting on a basketball tournament like we do, and that's always exciting.
I mean, they hosted the national championship 2 years ago
at the same place. Yeah, so you know they know how to run the event. At a high level, and we're just excited and, you know, want to put ourselves in position to you know, be in a good seed going into that event.
Yeah, I mean, it's a professional arena. And they put professional basketball games on there. So anytime you have that, it's a natural fit for us to have it there. And I'm excited just to have something new. I think that, you know, being in the old Lone Star Conference, when we had the North and the South, and having in Bartlesville, it was fun. It was good for that time. And as we continue to transition and grow this league, I'm excited to see this new venue and what it has in store for us. I think it's a great location. It's probably even easier to get to because you got two main highways that are right there. And so
right off the toll road.
And I think Frisco will be engaged too. So it's fun and exciting to see what that conference tournament is going to bring for us.
I do too. It's a really good sports town. You know, obviously they don't get the FCS national championship. They don't have professional soccer. They don't have
double A baseball.
Double A baseball, the star, all within three exits. Shameless plug for Rudy's Barbecue, which is four exits
waiting
up.
For it. I've been timing it against the clock up there on the wall.
But I will be hitting that at least four times in that week. But anyway, no, looking forward to it. And I agree with everything you guys said. I think as we try to expand our footprint, there's certainly nothing negative about playing postseason basketball at an area where both of you recruit and some of our prospective student athletes and certainly our alumni fans and donor base can get there. So like this new format. We'll,
I like it more now that I figured out how to move the monitor so I can see them.
Yeah, we'll keep keep this together on the quadruple J segment of Lions Roar, and I appreciate you guys taking the time. We'll got a busy week. Tomorrow morning, coffee with the coaches at Mugs on the Square. Really enjoyed starting that program, and think it's a great opportunity, less formal setting for our local alumni, faculty, staff, even students if they'd like to come out. I don't know how many students want to get up at 8 o'clock for coffee if they don't have class. But we have that tomorrow, and look forward to that Thursday. Merchants Night, and in partnership with our some of our local businesses and partners, Greek Challenge with our students Thursday night, and then like we mentioned, track and field locker dedication, football team introduced at halftime of the men's game. Friday, our national championship celebration on campus, 11 o'clock to noon in Ferguson, noon to 2, luncheon and mixer in the club for all of campus. Indoor track and field starts at Texas Tech. And then Saturday, big basketball doubleheader and alumni weekend for both women's and men's basketball. I know Taylor Phelps and Sam Walker and both of you have put a lot of effort into making sure we're not emailing somebody with their campus address from 12 years ago so they can get the communication piece, and looking forward to that. So four big basketball games coming up later this week, and then softball season. Don't necessarily envy Coach Brewster this time of year, because softball season starting in February in Albuquerque doesn't sound
well, just being outside last week during their first week of practice. Yeah. I was out there for about 30 minutes and I was like, I'm good.
Yeah. We have our home opener against St. Edward's February 7th. Season tickets are available starting as low as $50. So great opportunity to see a lot of softball. And from talking to Coach Brewster and Coach May staying healthy, I think they plan to follow in the footsteps that our football and basketball programs are blazing a trail, and volleyball programs have blazed a trail on so far this year. So a lot of great action. Normally this is the time of year where it's kind of like, okay, we only got two sports going on, but it doesn't feel like it because of the energy and excitement that you two have brought. So really, really appreciate both of you, and look forward. We will be back here same time, same place next week, and looking forward. Next week we're getting ready for the vacation in the mountain time zone, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, tell me about that. All right, let's take our fans through it before we.
Oh yeah,
we got a little bit of time with this.
We're on the internet. We've got as much time as we want.
What's the travel plans next week? Are you guys doing the same thing or different?
Very similar.
I think so. We're flying out to El Paso on Wednesday, and then we'll drive.
Just so everybody knows, so we go Western first, then Eastern.
Western first, because
that makes a little more sense than that way.
Yeah, so we'll fly out to El Paso, and then drive over to Silver City, and you practice that night, you play again the next day, and then we're going to take the 7-hour drive from Silver City to Portales on Friday.
Straight through.
We probably stop and eat somewhere and stretch our legs, but get over there, get a easy practice in their gym, and then play that game, and then we'll drive over to Lubbock after our game, stay in Lubbock, and then fly back Sunday.
Very similar. I we're staying after the Western game, though, just because a later game, we won't get out of there till 10:30, 11. If we get in the hotel at 6 a.m., I don't know what kind of sleep you actually get, so we'll stay that night and travel the next day. We'll do light. We'll practice and shoot around. We'll do one of them, probably not both. And we'll pick and just decide which one's going to be better for us. And you know that's everyone's got to do this trip, and I think it's a home court advantage for them. I still have yet to do this trip like this, obviously, with them being introduced in the league recently. But you know, we got to show up and we got to be ready to play when the ball tips.
To give us a frame of reference, you had a shorter drive to Odessa to start this leg of the trip than you will between legs on Friday.
Yeah, it's a long travel. I mean, you think about just the us going to the airport from here and the time it takes to get on the plane and all that, then it's 2.5 hours from El Paso to Silver City, and then you got the 7-hour leg in between games, and then it's not a short drive from.
It would be like it's like us and West Texas A&M being travel partners.
Yeah.
Yeah. For visiting schools.
Yeah. Yes.
That's exactly what it is.
And what's crazy is I've been in D2 for, 12 years now, and the conference I came in before, the longest road trip from furthest points in the conference, I believe, was 5 hours. And now we've only got 2 trips shorter than that, I think.
5 hours is our second.
Would be.
Third shortest trip.
Angelo. T-Dub. Tarleton.
T-Dub and Tarleton.
Midwestern Cameron. That's about the midpoint. And that's the longest for most conferences. I mean, you think about most of Division II. I mean, how many schools was it that voted at the convention last week? 300 some odd?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about all those schools in the Northeast.
309.
Yeah, 309. And most of those conferences are in the Northeast, and they're like the CAC. I think their longest trip might be 2 hours, and that's if you get stuck in a tunnel.
Wait till 1920 when we had a Kansas school and we had international.
Not Kansas.
No, yeah, you're right.
Everybody but them, though. I mean,
international and. Some of that. So it's
but yeah.
It's
so fun. Maybe you can speak to some of that. You'll talk to, but I mean, since
we can do it,
yeah. We're on the internet, so
we'll do that. Yeah, we'll do that a little bit next week because I think it is a longer conversation, and there are some positive things that we may already know about transition next week. I know there's a transition committee that is being formed of athletic directors and faculty reps, and I'll just say there's a reason I have good knowledge of that, and it should be very positive.
No SIDs on that committee.
should be very positive for us, but. We actually have great opportunity because there's I-35 series for us now. At least Kingsville does have a travel partner, so they're not paired with Angelo. And frankly, since you two play some of these teams already, just makes non-conference schedule a little bit easier. So yeah. I'm okay with some of the elements of it. And frankly, I don't mind saying it because he was here today. Dr. Keck and I this morning hosted the University of Texas Tyler president. They will complete their Division II application by February 1. And I would expect, unless something goes awry with the NCAA or their consideration, that we're very much talking about potentially a new travel partner for us in East Texas.
It's about an hour 15, I think.
Yep. We'll keep our fans posted on that. And I know that we will have a swelled basketball league, but it'll still be a fun one. And then we're a two-conference region, the Lone Star and the RMAC.
Yeah.
So, opens
up an at-large.
As one of my AD colleagues last week astutely said, whatever decisions we make in this room, every eight-team sport in regionals, we need to be driven that 7 of them are going to be Lone Star. And that every decision we make needs to be driven simply by that theme. So...
That's good for you guys.
Makes sense.
Yeah, really good. So, hey, appreciate it. We'll wrap up here on Lions Roar. Thanks to our man behind the camera, June Lee, for his unusually stationary work. We used to see him running around, running through a basketball drill, running on the field for a celebration. So, appreciate it. Our man on the board, Josh Mank, we've really turned this into a Dan Patrick Jr. show. And other than my face for radio, I think we're moving
on.
Hey,
I'm the one smart enough to stay off camera for this whole thing.
With Lions Roar. So appreciate you guys being in. Best of luck this week. Go Lions.
Thank you.